Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this Family Bible Study Hour. Our Father's Word, the great book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah in the Hebrew tongue, meaning whom God launches forth. And boy, did he launch this one. What a prophet. And as he goes through the nations, in the last lecture, they wanted to kill him. You know, certain people said, hey, he's saying we're going into captivity. I say it's over. And this is simply written for you today, that you have people that are going to teach you, or try to say, you don't have to understand God's Word. You're going to fly away. Got nothing to worry about. Just be saved and fly away. There's just one problem. That's not biblical. As a matter of fact, God, as he makes it very clear in Ezekiel 13, verse 25, I'm against it. So anytime God is against something and you want to participate in it, you're asking for big trouble, okay? So what he wants is the fact that the king of Babylon of Revelation is coming. You know who it is? It's Satan, his Antichrist. And God has a duty for you. He expects you to stand against him. And he utilizes all kinds of objects, like he took an old girdle. And he said, I love just like this girdle fits around me, I love to have my children around me like this. I like to love them. And he told Jeremiah, you take this thing out and you bury it down by the river. And months went by and he picked it up and it was molded and rotten. And when it's in that condition, I don't want it around me. And that's the way his children are when they fall away from the plan of God. He doesn't want you around him. So he always utilizes a good example. Well, we're utilizing one here. God is, 23 years Jeremiah has been teaching, you're going into captivity. As a matter of fact, one siege has already passed. And so God told him, okay, I'm going to give one more illustration. You make you a yoke, and you put it on yourself. And Jeremiah did. He put this yoke on himself. Which was a sign of what? Going into captivity, servitude. Going to serve the king of Babylon. God wants this because he intends that his children are brought into Satan's camp. And then the Holy Spirit speaks through them, and we have the victory. Okay? And it is a testing field for those, whether you've really read God's Word or not. If you've read his word and you understand it, it doesn't matter. You're not going to worship the false one. Most people don't even know the false one's coming, and he calls himself Christ. There's just one problem, and he's supernatural. Snap his fingers, lightning come from heaven, calls himself Christ. There's just one problem. If you have knowledge, you know there's an anti in front of it, meaning anti-Christ. So the reason for the servitude, we'll find out here in a little bit. He had told Jeremiah in verse 2 of chapter 27 to put that yoke on. We got down to verse 4 when he said, do this in front of the king, Zedekiah, and so forth. Verse 4, a word of wisdom from our father, and it reads, Jeremiah 27, verse 4, and command them to say unto their masters, thus saith the Lord of hosts. This is what God has to say. The God of Israel, thus shall you say unto your masters. This is what you're going to declare. Verse 5, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. God said, I created all this, both man and beast, and the land. It's up to me to give it to whomever I choose. Well, God has a plan. And do you think God's plan doesn't work? It's always perfect. It is the plan of salvation for his children. Why? He loves his children. but he doesn't like people messing with them, those that obey, those that listen to his word. As a matter of fact, he won't tolerate it.
Okay.
Will not tolerate it. Verse 6. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, that's the king of Babylon, my servant. God calls him his servant. He is serving Lord God Almighty. So what have you got to worry about? God's in charge. God's in control. And the beast of the field have I given him also to serve him. This is only for a limited time, beloved. But you understand how God will utilize this in the future sense to test the children whether they've studied God's word or not, whether they've read this letter he sent, telling you exactly how it's going down. These events that are happening to Jeremiah are an example to you. Verse 7. And nations shall serve him, and his son, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. This goes on through Belteshazzar, after Nebuchadnezzar, grandson, and all the way down to the kings of the Medes and the Persians, okay? As it's written in the book of Daniel, a perfect record, okay? Right there to check out. In other words, this came to pass just like it's written. Verse 8, and it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that means go along with my plan, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword, and with the famine, and with the pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. By whose hand? His servant, Nebuchadnezzar. In other words, what is the famine? The famine of the end times is not for bread. It's for hearing God's word taught chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby it has clarity, whereby you can understand. Whereby you understand God wants you to witness against this king of Babylon. It is his chief headquarters is called the synagogue of Satan. Why? Because he is Satan. That's who the king of Nebuchadnezzar in the future sense is. And our Father will bring that to pass exactly like it is written. It's called one worldism. As the first beast of Revelation chapter 13 signifies. That's what the symbolism stands for. Verse 9. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets. Don't you listen to a bunch of fake preachers, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers. That's your druggies, those that... This word is pharmacia, where our word pharmaceutical comes from, pharmacist, rather, and drug dealers, okay, which speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. They're lying to you. You don't have to study God's word. You're going to be gone. You're going to fly away. Now, verse 10, for they prophesy a lie. They're lying to you. Unto you, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and you should perish. Now, listen, friend, don't ever go against our Father. You are a short timer indeed, both on earth and in heaven, if you go against God. You have to love Him enough to know He has a reason for the elect to go into captivity. Verse 11, but the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. They'll master it. They'll be perfectly safe there. Everything will be well. And do you know where in the future sense that is written? That Jesus would say in Mark 13, take heed that man doesn't deceive you, because many will come claiming to be a Christian preacher. You don't have to study God's Word. You're going to be gone. Well, that's not what Christ teaches. What does Christ teach when you go into captivity? Okay? Verse 9 of Mark 13. You won't have it, but make a note. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils. You're going into captivity. What for? And in the synagogues, that's of Satan, you shall be beaten, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake. What's the purpose? For a testimony against them. That's so the Holy Spirit can speak through you. Many people have known they had a destiny or a purpose, and that there's more to God's Word than they were taught. That's the reason for the captivity. Verse 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. Those trials will go around the world at Satan's expense. And verse 11, this is why we will have the victory. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, when you go into that captivity, take no thought beforehand what you shall speak, neither do you premeditate. Don't even think about it. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Spirit, God speaking through you. Luke 21 declares that even the gainsayers will be convinced by what you say with the Spirit speaking through you. This is the purpose of Christianity in the end times, is that all the children hear the truth. Even when the Antichrist is on the earth, God overcomes through his weaknesses, wanting to play big boy. And even as he plays big boy, that's to say, head religious person, that's what he wanted coming out the gate. He wanted, rather than to be the covering cherub, he wanted to be the captain of the mercy seat. Well, God's already sitting there, so he can forget it. Okay, I'm quoting from Ezekiel chapter 28. Okay, but this is why God wants you to go in, to allow. I mean, he's going to have Michael and the archangels kick Satan as Antichrist from heaven, as it's written in Revelation chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, right down here to good old earth, and woe to earth unless you know the word. And then God protects you wherever you are. You see, what God wants you to know, why did God call the king of Babylon his servant? Because God's in control even of the enemy. You don't have anything to worry about. God protects his own, and God gives you power over all your enemies. There is Christianity is not a useless, just believe religion. Good Christians have a purpose in life, useful, to serve God as God needs them, to stand up, to make a difference, to amount to something, to allow God to speak through you, whereby lost, miserable souls can have hope, can have peace, can have life. And I'm talking eternal life. Returning them to chapter 27, let's pick it up with the next verse, verse 12. Verse 12 reads, I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. Now, Zedekiah agreed to that in a sense, historically. And then he goes through a hole in the wall, breaks out in the night, and makes a run for it. Nebuchadnezzar catches him, gouges his eyes out, kills his sons, what's left of them, drags Zedekiah off in chains, and finally he's killed in Babylon. Confusion. But he had some daughters, thank God, and those daughters later would go with this same Jeremiah. I'll be showing you the stone of Skoon sometime through the teaching of this great book, and you'll understand Scotha, one of those daughters, which later from her was named Scotland. Okay, verse 13. Why will ye die, That's useless. You don't have to. Go into captivity. Why will you die? Thou and thy people by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon. In other words, that is God's purpose. Do you think God won't destroy the king of Babylon when the time is due? He walks the plank right into the lake of fire, Revelation chapter 20. You don't have to worry. But it's time to check out. God wants to know who's done your homework. God wants to know who you've been listening to. Do you know that the king of Babylon is coming, as sure as it is historically and as it is prophetically? Historically, if you prefer. He's warned you and warned you. It's going to happen. And if you're going to listen to a lot of these gainsayers that say, you're going to fly away, that's your problem, friend. I mean, why die? Well, I thought I was a good Christian. Well, a good Christian always studies God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse because it's a letter written directly to them in simplicity that a child can understand when you stick to the subject and the object. Verse 14. Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, that's the liars, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. They're lying to you, misleading you. You don't have to worry about going into captivity. You're going to fly away like a big bird. The Antichrist comes in the sixth trump. The true Lord doesn't return until the seventh. What does that mean to you? Can you count? You're going to be here. We will not gather back to Messiah until the seventh trump. This false one comes in the sixth seal, the sixth trump, and the sixth vial. Do you understand 666? I mean, a child can. It's not difficult to count to six. All you have to do is be able to count to seven, and that's before there's one out. Trump, seal, vial. But that's when the true comes. Until then, you better be a servant of the living God. And know that you're going to stay, we're going to have the king of Babylon here. Verse 15, for I have not sent them, these false prophets and preachers, I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that you might perish, ye, and the prophets that prophesy unto you. Judgment begins at the pulpit, friend. You want to be real careful what you teach. God will destroy those that teach falsehood. Verse 16, and I spake to the priest and to all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets and prophesy unto that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. First siege happened, don't you worry about a thing. God's in control, that's all coming back, and we've got the victory. Well, they're lying to you. God didn't send them. What did God tell you about three, four, five chapters back? 70 years. It's going to take 70 years of captivity, and then you'll be free. And ultimately, it would be Cyrus that would bring them back. Why? God named him. God chose him. When God's ready to deliver, God delivers. Verse 17, hearken not unto them. Don't you listen to the eggheads. Serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? All you got to do is obey. In other words, I will say it in the future sense, let Revelation chapter 9 come to pass. Let the false one appear. God gives you his name in both the Greek and the Hebrew. Apollyon and Abaddon, which is to say, the destroyer, Satan. He's going to come, and he's going to reign for 5 months, shortened for the elect's sake. Had we kept reading in Mark 13 as a moment ago, you would have read that simply from God's Word. Verse 18, but if they be prophets, and if the Word of God be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah, all that was left was brass. The gold and silver was already gone, got it? And at Jerusalem, that it go not to Babylon. Verse 19, For thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars. This is even the bronze pillars in the front. And concerning the sea, that's the brazen tank. And concerning the bases. And concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in the city. In other words, they're going to be stripped clean. If he thinks of bringing the others back, they're going to still clean more. They're going to take the bronze plates directly off the pillars even. You're not going to have anything left. That's what's going to happen. Verse 20. When Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took not, when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem, old Daniel went down, remember? Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Yep, they were down there. Were they harmed? No, Nebuchadnezzar sent them to school. Verse 21, the children of Judah, Daniel and those three. 21, yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord, and in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem. Verse 22, to finish the chapter, they shall be carried to Babylon. That's the very brass hinges off the doors. And there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them in its place. Do you know when you can read of that brazen tank and all of it gone? 2 Kings 25:13. 2 Kings 25:13. You want to read? God's word always comes to pass. That's why it's a faith builder. That's why when you study His word and you learn, then you got nothing to worry about. Now, God spoke pretty strongly against the fake preachers right there. Don't lie to my people. Do you know what He's going to give us in chapter 28? He's going to show you a lying preacher that came forth and kept insisting. And you know what God did to him? He killed him. Don't ever. Who put the yoke on Jeremiah's neck? God did. This preacher is going to order it off. Don't ever go against God. You won't live long. He didn't live 2 months. Okay? Chapter 28, verse 1. And it came to pass the same year in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month. I insist that you remember that month, for it will come up again in the next lecture. That Hananiah is gift of God. Doesn't that sound religious? Sounds so sweet. And the son of Azar, that means he that assists. Sounds so helpful. The prophet, yet he's a prophet, or he claims to be, which was of Gibeon, okay, the hill city, spake unto me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priest and of all the people, saying, I mean, we got a high muckety duck here in the office of priest, and he's going to talk to us. Verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Whoa. Verse 3. Now, that's not what God just got through telling us, right? Now, here's a good example for you. Do you listen to man? Even if he calls himself a preacher, do you listen to man or do you listen to your father? This preacher claims, as far as this yoke goes, I broke it off. Verse 3. Within 2 full years will I bring again unto this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. That's not what God said. Okay. God said 70 years. This nutcase, beautiful name, claims to be a preacher, says 2 years. You don't have to worry. You're going to fly away. It'll be okay. Do you believe man or do you believe God? Verse 4. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah. God called him Coniah. God removed his name from that. The son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. God told me to tell you that. He's lying. God didn't say that. Verse 5, then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest, and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord. You got to know, Jeremiah knows he's lying. Okay. So right in front of everybody, practice good pulpit decorum here, all right? Verse 6, even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon to this place. 7, nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. In other words, he's riding him, okay? He's making fun of him, this fake priest. 8, the prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. 9, the prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. There's not going to be any peace. The king of Babylon is just over the ridge. He's going to take the whole bunch captive, okay? And that's what he's saying. You're going to find out this boy is lying. Verse 10. Then Hananiah, here's gifts of God right here. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it. Whoa. God in verse 2 of the last chapter placed that yoke on this man. And this man goes against God's word blatantly. What do you think is going to happen to him? You shouldn't. That's why I told you, remember, the fifth month. He's not going to last much longer. Verse 11. And Ananias spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord. Have you ever heard anybody say, I talked to Jesus today? Oh, did they? Saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke off Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. He just walked away. God had said specifically 70 years. Verse 12. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, verse 13, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make of for them yokes of iron. Verse 14, for thus, don't mess with God, friend, don't mess with your father. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I have a reason for it. And they shall serve him, and I have given him the beast of the field also. My plan, I said it, that's the way it's going to be. Verse 15. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah, the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee. You're a farce. But thou makest this people to trust in a lie. You're misleading them. You're going against God's plan. Verse 16, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth this year. Thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. Don't ever do that. You know, if you really, especially if you claim to be the office of a preacher, you better be real careful when you say, God told me this or God told me that. You know, God speaks to people. I can guarantee that. But it won't be some frivolous thing like what you should chow down on for supper tonight. If you're not smart enough to have a good diet, then suffer. God won't help you. It's always about the children, leading, guiding, and directing. I mean, here, you had a man, they were listening to old Hananiah. I mean, after all, his name means gift of God. They were listening big time. I mean, he was making a record for himself, had followers. They really listened until Jeremiah stepped up and said, I'll say amen to that. In irony, he went against our Father. Our Father has a plan of redemption. He intends that the false Messiah check the okra of all people that haven't studied the Word. Do you know how many have not studied? Do you know how many it says will whore after the false Christ? All the world shall whore after the false Messiah. Book of Revelation. That means not all that many have studied God's Word. That's why if you're one of God's elect and you study that Word, you want to listen. Now, do you remember what month it was when we began this chapter? When Hananiah came to his greatness? Verse 17. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. He didn't go 2 years. He went 2 months. And God got rid of him. Didn't want him kicking out the spokes any longer. Didn't want him misleading. God loves his children. But oh, does he dislike someone that lies to them. Oh, does he dislike someone that misleads them, that teaches garbage in the name of God. And if it isn't God's plan, it is garbage. Why? Because it causes people, if you're not careful, to lose their soul. That's not murder of the flesh. That's murder of a soul, which is eternal. That's how serious it is, and that's why God takes it so seriously. So, you want to be real careful. Well, how do I know? Right here, the Word of God. He forewarns you of everything, foretells you of everything. The false Messiah, the King of Babylon, is coming. The book of Revelation gives it to you in detail, even stages, 1 through 7, so that you can't miss. And he even explains the symbolism to you as he goes, exactly how it comes to pass. And therefore, you're kind of without excuse as far as not being prepared spiritually. What would Jesus say when he would be asked a question? Lord, can you tell me this? He would say, haven't you read it? It's in the book. Then I can tell you today, it's in the book. Have you read it? Your answer's there. You need to consult with your Father. What did we learn in that chapter? Do you remember back the 17th chapter, verse 5? Remember that verse? I ask you to never forget it. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. Remember what it said? You probably learned the lesson real good from that chapter. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm. If you expect man, flesh man, to save you, forget it. And whose heart departeth from the Lord. I mean, leaves the Lord's word and goes into nonsense. A bunch of lies, a bunch of falsehoods. God won't tolerate it. Okay? That's what you should have learned today. Stick. Do you know what that sword we're talking about here is? Have you ever read of that sword in Revelation chapter 1, verses 15 and 16? It's the tongue of Jesus Christ, the truth, the word that comes from his mouth, the living word, and it is a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways. The truth will slay all lies. It's going to go down just the way our fathers said it would. Keep yourself informed. Read God's word. Chapter by chapter, verse by verse. All right, bless your hearts. Don't miss the next lecture. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The book of Deuteronomy. The law was given as our schoolmaster. Have you been to school on God's Word? Certainly one way to go there is to study the book of Deuteronomy. Probably the most exciting thing that Deuteronomy has to offer for you is that great song of Moses. That those that overcome the false Messiah in the end generation will be singing.
the law itself being the schoolmaster that keeps us out of trouble in these flesh bodies. Again, an education in taming that part of you that oftentimes needs taming through the old schoolmaster, that great book, Deuteronomy, the law, and its set ways of keeping you from harm's way, even in this generation. You're going to enjoy it. And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, hey, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend, denomination, or organization. Thus don't, or even some political party. Okay. You'll never hear me mention the names of political parties. There's a reason. We're not allowed to. You may hear me read of cliques like liberals, communists, and things of that nature, but you'll never hear me talk politics, okay? Unless it directly applies to all, the Word of Almighty God. Now, those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. You got a prayer request, you do not need the number, and you don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. He does. You know why? You're unique. Your fingerprints are different. Your DNA is different. God created you the way you are because He wanted someone just like you. But He wants you to love Him. He may not love what you're doing, but He sure loves you. Return that and be blessed. Father, around the globe, we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, and we'll get into some questions here. I'm going to go with Yolanda from Connecticut. I'm confused about the rapture. My local church says your teachings are wrong. Well, that's okay. No problem. All I teach is God's Word, and if they don't believe God's Word is correct, that's their problem, okay? So I need to know, if Christ wasn't raptured, why was His body gone? Little lady, the word rapture is not in the manuscripts, not in the translations, it's not in the Word of God. And to call the transfiguration and the resurrection rapture is almost blasphemous. What have they done to you? Are you listening to man or are you listening to God's Word? Okay. I don't know. I never tell people where they should go or what they should do. All I do is teach God's Word. And I know I'm answerable for that. The proof's in the pudding. If you can find somewhere where it says Christ was raptured, well, it would be in some dirty book. Okay, because it's not in the Bible. Sandy from Texas. I've always been confused about which virgins are the foolish ones in Matthew 25, 1 through 4. Are the foolish virgins those who are unsaved? Are the wise virgins those who are saved? Uh-uh. No, no, no. The wise virgins are those that know God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse and know the Antichrist is coming first. And they're going to attend the real wedding. The foolish virgins thought they were saved and were going to fly away. They did not have enough oil. Do you know what that word oil is? It's Eliyah. Do you understand that's God's sacred name as well as His name? The oil of our people, the olive oil? He didn't have enough truth in their tank up here. And even though they called themselves Christians, they might have been gone to church all their life and had never got into the Word of God. Do you believe that's possible? It certainly is. I have known people that have studied all their lives, and if you were to sit down and question them and analyze them, all they know is I'm saved and I'm flying. Flying where? And saved by who? Well, there's... False Christ is coming first. I never heard of Him. Didn't know that. I'm just saved and I'm flying out of here. You're going to fly right into the Satan's bed. That's where you're going. The first woman that flew out of Matthew 24 was taken right into Satan's bed. And I've heard many preachers falsely saying, I want to be the first taken. They're anxious to get in bed with the devil, aren't they? The foolish virgins are those that will not study God's Word and yet call themselves Christian. Diane from Kentucky, please explain what kathabo is and what it means in proper spelling. You need a little bit of help on the spelling. It's K-A-T-A-B-O-L-E, kathabole, okay? It comes as, now that is a Greek word. It means a foundation, or it is usually translated foundation, but what it means is the casting down, which means the casting down of Satan. That was the foundation. That was the beginning of restoration, actually, because that's when God's plan began to come forth, was at Satan's fall. But I want to advise that you have Appendix 146 in the back of your companion Bible, and that appendix is titled Foundations of the World. And it is every, there are two words that are used for a foundation. But when kathabole is used, it has to do with Satan and his being cast down by God, and usually has a very direct connection with God's elect. From Minnesota, we got John. Is there such a thing as an anointing of wealth and such? An anointing of wealth? We don't have any anointing for that, but God says, if you do my work, I will bless you, okay? Never apologize for being wealthy, for doing God's work. No need to. I hear preachers say they have such an anointing, being called to preach on that, and mostly that's all they basically speak about, is raising money. After listening to God's full word, line by line, his relationship toward man, his feelings, thoughts, and commands, it makes me have harsh feelings towards such a damnable venture and attempt to lie and rob hopeful people. Honestly, is it possible they have such an anointing? It hurts my ears to listen to them. I'm learning more and more. Well, God bless you, John. I'm glad you are. God doesn't send out beggars, okay? That's one thing. He made it very clear. I don't want you to take a begging bag with you. Why? Because if you're worth your salt, people will support you. So anytime you hear somebody going out and begging, God didn't send them. You can rest assured. So is there an anointing for wealth? No. You might say, well, aren't you being a little bold in saying that? No, I know the gifts. It's called charisma. There's teaching, preaching, speaking in languages, and evangelism. Is there anywhere in the Bible where it says one for wealth? Charisma for wealth, for begging? No. He's lying to you, okay? Lying out loud. But you had a good example of that. Let me ask you something else. Do you know what God's going to do with them? So you don't have to worry about it too much. They won't be around very long. Ruby from Florida. Do illegitimate children have a part in the kingdom of God? I'm not trying to be funny. This is really important to me. Well, it should be. Do you know what a mamzar is? Then a mamzar is not an illegitimate child. Okay. And you can check out mamzar. I'm not going to take you there because of our mixed audience and everything. But as it is written in Deuteronomy, the word bastard, check it out in the Hebrew tongue, and it'll tell you what a mamzar is. They cannot take part in the kingship, but they can certainly take part in heaven. And don't ever let anyone tell you any different. But an illegitimate child of his own people is no different than anyone else. Okay. And don't start trying to put the sin of the parents, if there be a sin there, on the child. This won't work, okay? With a mamzar and or otherwise. God understands. I hope that answers your question. It really irritates me, for a personal experience, not very far from where I'm sitting right now, when someone told a person they couldn't go to heaven because of illegitimacy. That is a lie. And it cost this person their life. So if you ever wonder why I kind of come down on would-be preachers, you got the reason. They hurt people bad. Jeanette from Wisconsin, I'm confused. When we say our prayers, we say them to God our Father. Then when we confess our sins, we say our repentance to Jesus Christ. Is this right? No, not really. You confess to God in Christ's name. You ask for forgiveness in Christ's name. Okay? And at the same time, I must caution you, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Okay? So don't let semantics get you carried away. Christine from Michigan, I have a question. Can someone be saved and not display the fruits of the Spirit? The person I'm referring to has been born again since age 13, but I don't see joy, peace, patience, gentleness, and not much kindness or self-control. I do see some goodness and faithfulness, though. He's 53 now, and it seems like he has a lot of anger inside. He gets frustrated easily and then says mean things to people. Thanks for your time. Well, you know, I really don't know of anybody that's perfect, and different people have different makeups. And sometimes, unfortunately, in this troubled world that we're in, where we have chemical imbalances because of pollution, or of diet and so forth, or pain can cause a shortness of temper. In other words, I don't really, a wise person doesn't give advice when you don't know all the facts. I'm just saying, in general, different people have different attitudes and so forth, but it never hurts to pray for a person, all right? Some people are just not as outgoing as others, and that's just life. That's the way it is. Ruth from Minnesota. In other words, what I'm saying, I won't judge the man, and don't you judge him either, as to whether he's saved or not saved or what, okay? Leave that in God's hands. Ruth from Minnesota, but I have a question. I know that there will be animals. I guess this lady has lost a pet, okay? I know there will be animals in the millennium. I'm not sure after that, but where are they in the meantime? Please go. People go to paradise and are on the other side of the gulf. But God likes animals, all right? He always has. And that's why he created them to start with. And many of them to be helpful to man. After he created the eighth day man, he created more animals yet and even let him, Adam, Ha-Adam, name them, okay? And so God loves animals, and that's for sure. And it grieved him that he had made man flesh also, because his animals were flesh in the first earth age. And I guarantee you, as it is written, there will be no carnivores, not in the millennium nor in the world to come, but there will be animals, okay? God loves them. Cher from Alabama. My question, does our Father get upset if we retire from jobs? I know I need to bring in more than I have. It's just hard to find jobs at this age. Well, you know, that's a personal choice, okay? Either adjust to what you have, which sometimes, you know, if you plan pretty well, that can be done. But there's certainly no sin or God going to come down on anybody if they find a job and want to make extra income. If anything, he gives credit for those that like to work, but retiring is a different ball game, okay? You can retire and help others or work or whatever the case may be, just don't get lazy when you retire, because God doesn't like lazy people. Do you know how what God calls lazy people? And this certainly doesn't have anything to do with your problem, you're just the opposite. But he calls them in Proverbs as the hinges on a door, only they're hinged to a mattress, okay? John from Canada, why are some people allowed to live past 120 years of age in the Bible? even after the sentence of man is only to live 120 years of age, as passed by our Father in Genesis 6:3. Well, they at that time did, but the law at that time, as far as death was concerned, that in the day you sin, you die. And how long was a day with the Lord? You're not supposed to be ignorant of that, as it's written in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. Don't be ignorant of the fact that a day with God is 1,000 years. Methuselah almost made it, but he did die in the same day, that 1,000-year period. Wanda from Oklahoma. Question, as Christians, are we to keep the feast of the Old Testament? Are they laws or rituals? What became our Passover? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Christ became our Passover. And that's what the Lord's table, partaking of the cup, and of the bread and the cup, is partaking of our Passover. And the reason you have Passover 50 days later is Pentecost, is in remembrance, and even in the fall is to remember Passover. Okay. Colossians chapter 2 tells you those things that Christ nailed to the cross with himself, in other words, that he became. Margie from Arizona, and I might say, we'll be taking Passover here on television in the very near future. I will warn you ahead of time. Margie from Arizona, if my friends and family persist in believing in the rapture and they live to see Christ return, will they still go to heaven? Well, don't ask me to judge, okay? They may, many people, as it is written in the great book of Revelation, many, when God's elect are delivered up, will be converted. When you speak, they're going to know right then, you've already told them what's going to happen. That's prophecy. And when they see it come to pass, there'll be a lot of them come out of the woodwork. All the seeds that you have planted down through the years, when they see the actual event of God's elect being delivered up before the false Messiah, spurious Messiah, then many of them are going to come out of the woodwork, okay, and be converted right at that time. That's what it's all about, and that's what God wants to happen, okay. And what a wonderful time and what a wonderful Father we have. Helena from Georgia. Thank God because of your clear teaching. Thank you. I know that at the sixth trump, we will not be fooled. Good, because that's when it happens. The false one comes. Please explain, how does one know if they are one of God's elect? Well, you know what? Romans chapter 11 kind of tells us that. If you know that the false Christ is coming first, then the odds that you are one of God's elect or a king and queen of the ethnos is real good, because why? As you'll read, God put the spirit of stupor on the rest. So if you have knowledge to know that, then you are. Okay, Tom from Missouri. How can I research myself and verify your teaching as far as the earth ages and the original language without being able to use the original text? Thank you. I enjoy your teaching. I'm glad you do, but you know, do you know the reason I almost insist that you have a Strong's Concordance? It's not very expensive. And what it actually gives you is the original text. Not only does it give you the original text, each word converts back to, whether it's Hebrew, Aramaic, Syriac, Chaldee, or Greek. It takes you back to that and gives you the multi definitions, whereby you yourself can make up your own mind as whether the translators of the King James erred or not. And you know something? In the original King James Bible, the translators insisted that you did. But you can check me out. I almost insist that everyone check me out. That is my ministry, is driving people into the Word. into the manuscripts. And that simple little Strong's Concordance, Dr. Strong was a fantastic scholar and honest, okay? So with that, you can check us out, you can check me out real easy. It's no problem, okay? And you will have if you want, decide to go further, we have other works in our library, such as a set of manuscripts called Green's Interlinear, which is the best, you can't buy a better set of manuscripts of the ancient languages. But you got to really want to study to do that, because you have to basically learn the languages. But it's still, it makes a good double check, okay? Jan from Texas. I have only been a listener for a few months, but I understand that we are to observe Passover. Since I do not know a group close that keeps Passover, what do I do? We'll see it on television, okay? I'll forewarn you. Jacqueline from Nebraska. I'm sorry, it's Florida. I'm reading your street, northeast. And I was, all right, Florida, FL. My church teaches that the time will be shortened, Revelation 9, to 3.5 years. How do I explain time shortened for Satan will be 5 months? You know, really, I don't know where your church is getting 3.5 years, because Revelation 9 makes it very clear it's the time of the locust, 5 months, May through September. I don't know where they could get 3.5 years from that. They're in error. Okay, hey, I'm out of time. You know what? I love you all a bunch because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. How do I know you do that? Because you wouldn't be listening to this telecast if you didn't, okay? Most of all, it makes God's day that you read this letter He's written to you. It means a lot to Him. Make His day, He'll make yours. Brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. I want you to do that. But you know what's most important? You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
Ezra and Nehemiah. These two books